in the Ukraine, Joseph Lindsley in Kharkiv today. And Joseph, I know you want to report about the fallout from yesterday's Lviv strikes. Is everything calm and quiet for now?
Well, I'd say there's a new uneasiness. I mean, everyone's always been aware that the Russians can hit anywhere in Ukraine. But for the most part, you know, especially in the past months, Lviv has been protected by Ukrainian air defense. And it's a reminder that, you know, how important this air defense is. You know, we look at the cities that Russia has leveled, like Mariupol and Bakhmut, and you look at that one block of destruction in Lviv, and, you know, that could be a very real possibility if Ukraine does not have the resources it needs to shoot down these incoming Russian missiles and drones. And only, you know, just over a week ago, there was another attack on Lviv. So this is becoming, it seems like, you know, it's certainly becoming more frequent. Meanwhile, the latest report is that 10 people were killed. The youngest, Anastasia, 32. The oldest, Svetlana, 71. Many families lost their homes. They lost their cars. I heard the story of a doctor whose flat was harmed by this, and he rushed to the hospital and was, you know, doing surgeries, you know, within an hour after the attack. There's a restaurant I used to go to. It's called Love in Lviv, totally destroyed. I was there just a few months ago. Meanwhile, I heard, you know, people keep, of course, you got to keep going. And so a friend texted me and said, everything is fine. A rocket fell near me, you know, like nonchalant about it. One of the buildings that was bombed was built by the Poles in the 1920s. It was a very historic piece of architecture, like so much of Lviv. And also the campus of the Ukrainian Catholic University, as I mentioned yesterday, especially the windows were blown out. And that campus, it's a beautiful school. Most of it was built in the 2000s because the Greek Catholicism was illegal in the Soviet times. And so in the past decades, they've been rebuilt. They were underground during most of the 20th century. And in the past decades, they've been rebuilding. And there's a beautiful church with a dome that's almost, and they've been building it for maybe almost a decade now. And so they've put so much work into this place. It's a lovely university with some of the brightest students in Ukraine. And that campus suffered damage. And as I was thinking of that, I remembered a few years ago, I think it was 2018, I was watching a Notre Dame Michigan football game and on NBC. And there was an advertisement for Notre Dame. And it was about Lviv. Notre Dame had a partnership with Ukrainian Catholic University. And they spoke about, in the advertisement, there was professors talking about how the Iron Curtain could come down again. And that's why it's important to work with people in Eastern Europe who have their freedom and to keep their freedom. And it's so haunting that that commercial was prophetic. And that was the first time I ever saw images of the city of Lviv. You know, it was a beautifully filmed commercial. You could hear the bells all over the city as a peaceful drone flew over Lviv. And it's such a gem of a city. But there's a sense that whereas Putin loves Odessa, he hates Lviv because it is the people think this because it is the cultural heart of Ukraine. And meanwhile, UNESCO, the United Nations sort of cultural protection organization, condemned the attacks because they destroyed beautiful buildings. And they refused, as the mayor of Lviv, Andriy Ivanovich, he pointed out, UNESCO refused to name the attacker. They just, you know, as though it was some kind of tornado that hit Lviv. And the mayor of Lviv was very angry about this. You know, how hard is it to say we condemn Russia for attacking historic Lviv?
Wow. There's news this morning that Ukraine has advanced more than a kilometer around Bakhmut in the past 24 hours as the Ukrainian forces continue to apply pressure on the Russians in that area. But it does seem to me and others, Joseph, that ever since that weekend of chaos with the Wagner group, it's been the Russians on the offensive more than the Ukrainians. Ukrainians, what do you think is happening?
Well, it's you know, the details are murky in many ways. I mean, we do see Ukrainians are pushing back against the Russians. So the Russians are not gaining territory. They are losing, but as you said, a kilometer. It's very, very slow. The death toll is high on, you know, we know on the Ukrainian side. There were several funerals the past week. including in Lviv, at the Garrison Church of St. Peter's and Paul. There was a funeral of Andriy Hudma. He was an arts restorer. That was his profession and his passion. He was also a father, and he was killed, and many people were at the funeral. Then, of course, there was the writer I mentioned to you who was killed in the strike on Kramatorsk, Victoria Amelina. Her funeral was absolutely packed, and people were on their knees in the church for most of the funeral, and such a grief in the city. The Russians have been, I mean, it's they've been, I would say, in May and June, there were many indiscriminate attacks, missile and drone attacks. But what we've seen in the past weeks are fewer attacks, but very targeted attacks, very very precise attacks, and that is concerning. And it's I'd say that this underscores the importance of Ukraine needing to be better supplied. And I think, you know, next week there's a major NATO summit in Vilnius, Lithuania, and the big question there, and I think it's going to be a lot of debate there behind the scenes. You know, who really wants victory here? Can Ukraine get the tools it needs to definitively win? Otherwise, we're facing some very bleak prospects. There's the most difficult questions for the world. You know, can Ukraine take Crimea back? Or rather, is Ukraine allowed to try to take Crimea back? And can Ukraine strike Russian military bases on Russian territory to put an end to this?
There's a report on NBC that some back-channel negotiations have been going on in Washington, D.C. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, and then there's, you know, without Ukraine, you know, that report, and again, it's I'm very skeptical of you know, sort of these anonymous reports. But the report was that these were between United States and Russia, but without Ukraine, which doesn't seem to make much sense. I think we are... We are in a, I mean, this is maybe the most intense part of the chess game of this war. There's so much at stake. And you know, even now, well, we just had a couple air alarms here in Kharkiv a few minutes ago. The last one ended. There's a sense that at any moment there could be some new disaster. And, you know, as you gather, I was meeting with volunteers last night and today. And, you know, you think of what happened in Kramatorsk, what happened in Lviv. It's a reminder, every single one here who's working for victory, which is almost everyone in Ukraine, is under absolute threat. And it does seem that Russia still has eyes on the ground. That's why they've been able to make these targeted attacks. And so these are disturbing days now. But if I could leave you with these words of that poet, Victoria Amelina, another recent poem she wrote. She was killed in that cafe in Kramatorsk. In a barren springtime field stands a woman dressed in black, crying her sister's names, like a bird in the empty sky, so cry them all out of herself. And people have been sharing that with this grief that everyone has for the lives that have been lost throughout this, especially those killed in battle and killed sleeping in their apartments the past couple weeks.
I want you to hear this, Joseph. It's an email we got about your report yesterday morning. Ken Schmidt, Clinton, Iowa, writes, Joseph's report struck a chord in my mind. For those of us who try to follow his reports every day, it is reminiscent of the great Edward R. Murrow and his reports from London that brought home to the U.S. what it was like in the middle of a war there. Joseph Lindsley's reports do exactly the same thing for us in America. He told the story of a journalist who died in an attack on a restaurant in much the same manner, if not spirit, of Murrow's reports. Thank you, Bob, for these many months now of reports from Ukraine. And yes, we personally keep in our prayers the people of the Ukraine who are bearing the brunt of this attack on their freedom. Thank you, Joseph. This is all about you. That's Ken in Clinton, well, Iowa.
Thank you, Ken, and thank you, Bob, and everyone listening. And tomorrow is the 500th day of this war. We've spoken about more than 400 of those days, and we welcome any support, UkrainianFreedomNews.com. And thank you for listening as we look at this somber anniversary tomorrow.
Until Monday, Joseph, you take care.
Thank you, Bob. You too.